牛津书虫配套英文朗读 MP3 第五集三，远大前程，整理分享人密语风赖 QQ 号46469487 2，网站 www.mxlwq.com， 感谢您的支持。
Chapter 19. A Wedding. The excitement of all these events made me seriously ill for several weeks. Herbert was abroad on business for Clarica's, and there would have been nobody to look after me if Joe had not heard about my illness and come to London to nurse me. When I was getting better, he told me some of the local news. Miss Havisham had died, and left all her fortune to Estella, except for £4,000, which Matthew Pocket inherited. And Orlick had been arrested for breaking into Pumblechook's house and stealing his money. Dear old Joe seemed just the same. But as I got better, he began to remember I was a gentleman, and call me Sir again. And when I got up one morning, I discovered he had gone. I decided to go back to the village, to thank him for all his help, and to carry out a plan I had been considering for some time. I wanted to ask Biddy to marry me, and I knew I would be happy with her. So I went by coach to the old town, as I had done so many times before, and walked to the forge. But as I came closer, I could not hear the sound of Joe's hammer, and I noticed fresh white curtains at the windows, and bright flowers everywhere. Suddenly I saw Biddy and Joe at the door, arm in arm. "Pip!" cried Biddy, happily, running to kiss me. "Pip! It's my wedding day, and I'm married to Joe!" I was still weak from my illness, and the shock was too much for me. They had to help me into the house and let me rest in a chair. They were both so pleased that I had come, by accident, to make their day perfect. I could only be glad that I had never spoken of my plan to Joe when he was looking after me. "Dear Biddy," I said, "you have the best husband in the whole world." "I couldn't love him more than I do," she replied. "And dear Joe, you have the best wife in the world, and she will make you as happy as even you deserve to be, dear, good Joe." Joe put his arm over his eyes. "And Joe and Biddy, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for all you've done for me. Tell me you forgive me for not being grateful and not being good, and think better of me in the future." "Oh, dear old Pep," said Joe. "God knows we forgive you, if there is anything to forgive." So I left the forge and started a new life, working as a clerk for Clarica's, Herbert's company. I was sent to the new office in India to take charge, while Herbert came back to England to marry his Clara. Herbert and his wife invited me to live with them, and we all stayed out in India for many years. In the end, I too became a partner in the company. We worked hard and honestly, and made good profits. It was not until 11 years later that I returned to England and saw Biddy and Joe again, although I had been writing regularly to them. One evening in December, I gently pushed open the old kitchen door, and there, sitting by the fire next to Joe in my old place, was Pip. Joe and Biddy's son had my name and looked just like me. They also had a little daughter, and were the happiest of parents. "Dear Pep," said Biddy quietly to me after supper, "have you quite forgotten her? Tell me, as an old friend." "My dear Biddy, I can never forget her. But that was all a dream which has passed. But I was secretly planning to revisit Miss Havisham's old house, alone, as a way of remembering Estella. I had heard that her husband had been very cruel to her. They had separated, and then he had died 2 years ago. Perhaps she had remarried by now. The old house had been knocked down, and there was nothing left but piles of stones in the garden. In the moonlight, I walked sadly around, until suddenly I saw a woman's figure in the shadows. I went closer, and then, "Estella," I cried. "You recognize me?" "I have changed a lot," she answered. She was older, but still beautiful. I had never before seen such a soft light in those once proud eyes, or felt such a friendly touch of her once cold hand. "It's strange, Estella. After so many years, we meet by chance here, where we first met." "Yes, it's strange. I haven't been here for years, although the land belongs to me. But tell me, you still live abroad?" "Yes, I still do. I'm doing well in India." "I've often thought of you. Since my husband died, I have given you a place in my heart."
"You have always held your place in my heart," I answered.
There was silence for a few moments. "I didn't think I would say goodbye to you here," she said.
"It's painful saying goodbye, Estella."
"But last time you said, 'God bless you. God forgive you.' You could say that to me now. Now that I understand how much you love me. Now that I have suffered. Now that I am a better person. Tell me we are friends." She spoke more eagerly than I had ever heard her speak before.
"We are friends," I said, taking her hand.
"And we'll continue being friends, even when we are apart?" said Estella. We walked hand in hand out of the old garden. As the morning mist had risen long ago, when I first left the forge, so the evening mist was rising now, and in the clear moonlight I saw no shadow of another separation from her.